Hey, welcome to the Growth.me summary of Secrets of Closing the Sale by Zig Ziglar. Secrets of Closing the Sale is considered a must-read book by many sales professionals. Zig Ziglar shares a lifetime of time-tested selling techniques that are based on honesty, enthusiasm, and empathy. Looking at the online reviews for this book, on Amazon, it has 4.8 stars, and on Goodreads, it has 4.2 stars. Positive reviewers felt it's an entertaining and useful encyclopedia of effective sales techniques. But there were some critical reviewers who said many examples were outdated, such as the ones about door-to-door selling. So when it comes to sales and business, we all want to learn the newest techniques, right? Why? Because in our society, for some reason, newest equals best. But that isn't always true. I was surprised that this book by Zig Ziglar is actually better in many ways than many of the newest sales books. As some people say, old is gold. And right here, I've summarized a few of the best ideas from Secrets of Closing the Sale, so get ready to learn some time-tested tips that can improve your ability to sell and market your product or service. Zig Ziglar was one of the world's top motivational speakers and sales trainers. For many decades, he traveled the world speaking to audiences of business people, sharing encouraging words and his sales strategies that were based on a lot of experience. The first lesson in this book is help customers win. Help customers win. You must believe in what you sell honestly and enthusiastically. Zig Ziglar is probably best known for his honest and moral approach to sales. And that begins with honestly believing that our customer is winning when they purchase our product or service. And if you can't do that, then Zig says to find a different product to sell. And that's what I call integrity. Because without that belief in our product, then we become a manipulator, which means trying to make people do something that is against their best interest. So we must begin with understanding what our prospects want. What do they really want? And then we demonstrate how our product or service will help them get what they want better, faster, or easier. I mean, that's the very core of selling. And with an honest belief in what we sell, then we can be 100% enthusiastic and 100% persistent. So why are those two qualities important? Well, enthusiasm is important because people are very perceptive. They know when a salesperson truly feels that their product is worth buying. With an honest 100% belief in what we sell, then we will speak more earnestly and enthusiastically. As another sales author, Brian Tracy, says, the sales is basically a transfer of enthusiasm from seller to buyer. And the second quality is persistence. Ziglar says that the best salespeople are a little hard of hearing. And that means when a prospect gives an objection, they don't give up right away because they believe the prospect simply has not heard all of the benefits yet to make the best decision for them. And that requires having that faith and belief in our product. Now, another very well-loved motivational speaker was Jim Rohn, who also emphasized the power of determination and discipline for success. As he wrote, "Discipline is the master key. It unlocks the door to wealth and happiness, culture and sophistication, high self-esteem and high accomplishment, and the accompanying feelings of pride, satisfaction, and success," end quote. What Jim Rohn meant was that what really creates success are small efforts repeated every day. For example, calling just 5 more prospects every day doesn't seem like a lot to many of us, but over a month, that will translate into hundreds of additional calls to prospects. And over a sales career, it'll translate into tens of thousands of additional sales calls. But that's why it's so dangerous to also excuse our small daily failures and time wasting, because those also multiply over a lifetime. You can read more of Jim Rohn's strategies in his book, The 7 Strategies for Wealth and Happiness. To summarize lesson 1, the best professional salespeople sell a product or service that helps their prospects get what they want. This honest helpfulness is at the heart of their selling, and it allows them to speak with enthusiasm, which is often contagious, and persistence, not really hearing every single objection. Now, lesson 2 is build optimism. Build optimism. You should feel positive and proud to be a salesperson. It's no secret that sales can be a tough profession. Many salespeople face constant rejection as part of their job. On top of that, sales doesn't have the best reputation in many parts of the society, so it's easy for beginners to get discouraged. But to be successful in sales, we must build our optimism, or as Ziglar calls it, positive mental attitude. Here are some tips for how. First, feel the importance of selling. Did you know most companies depend on their salespeople? Without sales being made, the other employees would have no work to do. And that's why in many companies, salespeople are some of the best paid employees. And even in the middle of recessions, their position remains secure. But we can often forget how important selling is to our fellow employees and to society. A second tip is to absorb clean mental inputs. This means reading positive books and listening to uplifting speakers every day. By default, most of our news feeds and the online algorithms are designed to provide us with stories that will engage us, but they do that by often triggering outrage and upset. Our well-being is unfortunately not usually part of those algorithms. So that's why we must absorb clean mental inputs. And a third tip is to build reserves of energy. To give a great sales presentation, you must have physical energy throughout the day. And that comes from eating nutritious food, getting enough sleep, and physical activity like walking every day. Beyond that, Ziglar strongly believes that a relationship with God provides a spiritual reserve for our most difficult times. Now, I'm going to connect this to another author. The motivational speaker Tony Robbins echoes this message of optimism for success. In his book, Awaken the Giant Within, Tony says, "Achievers rarely, if ever, see a problem as permanent, while those who fail see even the smallest problems as permanent," end quote. And that point was actually based on research done by Martin Seligman, the father of modern positive psychology. If you want to learn more of Tony Robbins' ideas, check out his book, Awaken the Giant Within. But to summarize lesson 2, adversity is a basic part of sales. To succeed, we must learn to remain optimistic and focused on our positive goals. So remember how valuable selling is to the people around you, listen to more uplifting media, and nurture your physical energy with sleep, exercise, and good food. Now, lesson 3 is assume success. Assume success. You'll close more effectively by acting as if they've already decided to buy. I noticed there was one common theme in many of the closes shared by Ziglar in this book. that theme was assuming the prospect has already bought your product or service. Because when we have the positive expectation that they will buy, then we begin to act in a way where it's more natural for them to say yes. On the other hand, when we don't have that expectation of success, then we'll be more hesitant and maybe we'll even appear unsure about our product, and that emotion will often transfer to the prospect. Ziegler doesn't mention this, but psychologists actually call this the interpersonal expectancy effect or a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you have a positive belief that they will buy your product, you act in a way that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And here are some ways that we can do this while selling. First, use positive imagination. Zig Ziglar recommends imagining your next sales call going well, with the prospect happy to see you and signing the contract. This imagining will help us walk into the sales call with more of a positive expectation and enthusiasm. A second tip is to paint mental pictures of them already enjoying your product or service. Like if someone was a real estate agent, they could ask the prospect where they'll put the home office desk or the kid's bed. A third tip is to close by asking about the product options. In other words, don't ask if they want the product, but ask how they want it. For example, do you like the blue color or the red color? Would you prefer the gas engine or the hybrid? Would you like it delivered this week or next week? So it's asking not if they want the product, but do you want this option or that one? That's another way of assuming they will buy the product. Now, I want to expand more on that first tip. Zig Ziglar mentions the classic self-help book Psycho-Cybernetics, which is also one of my personal favorites. And that book says that what holds many of us back in life is our inner self-image. And we can only change our lives by holding new mental images about how we look like and how our lives look like. And when we hold new mental images, then something inside of us called our creative mechanism will strive to make those images into a reality. The author of that very interesting book, remember it was called Psycho-Cybernetics, he was actually a plastic surgeon named Dr. Maxwell Maltz, and he recommended spending 30 minutes each day relaxing our body and also exercising our imagination to create those new mental images. He wrote, "Your nervous system cannot tell the difference between an imagined experience and a real experience. In either case, it reacts automatically to information which you give it from your forebrain." End quote. And we'll have a summary of his book, Psycho-Cybernetics, by Dr. Maxwell Maltz, coming in the future. But to summarize this lesson, you can make the sale more easily and naturally by acting with a positive expectation that they've already decided to buy. Begin with imagining your next sales call going well, then paint mental pictures of them already enjoying your product or service, and close by asking which one they want, not if they want one. Lesson 4 is agree with objections. Never argue with prospects, but provide them with new information. Every salesperson will face objections. Objections like, it costs too much, it can't do exactly what I want, or it's too complicated to use, etc. How do we handle these? Well, here are three of Zig's most essential pointers explained. First, don't argue. Do not argue. The worst way that we can respond to objections is to begin arguing with the prospect or telling them they are wrong. Instead, we should begin with acknowledging their feeling is reasonable, that others have felt the same way, but here is some new information that they should consider. A second tip is to use testimonials. What other people have said about your product or service will always be more credible than what you, as a salesperson, say about it. And that's why Ziglar spends a lot of time in this book recommending and saying how to build a library of testimonials, with specific testimonials prepared to address common objections. And a third tip is to soften the objection first. So, if they object in a more forceful way, then you don't need to respond right away. You can first soften their objection by rephrasing what they said in a more friendly way, or you can repeat what they said with a question mark at the end. And for the second technique, your voice tone is crucial. For example, if they said, "Your product will fall apart in a year," then you can rephrase that objection by saying, "So what you're saying is that the quality of our product is one of your top concerns, is that right?" And that will give you a much more positive foundation by which you can address the objection. Or you can handle that objection by simply repeating what they said with a question mark. "Our product will fall apart in a year?" Now, saying it this way will make them justify what they just said, and if they were kind of rude, they will often soften the objection on their own. Now, I want to go back to that first point about not arguing. The most popular book of all time on communication and social skills is probably How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And the biggest rule in that book, the first rule, is not to criticize, condemn, or complain towards others. Why? Because fundamentally, we all deeply desire a feeling of importance. And so if we want to influence and persuade other people, we need to be very careful not to trample on their feeling of importance. And the fastest way to make that mistake is by directly arguing, contradicting, or telling someone they are wrong. Instead, why don't we use questions to direct the conversation so other people can feel as if they are arriving at a new idea on their own? You can read more great communication tips in our summary of the book How to Win Friends and Influence People. But to summarize this lesson, handling objections begins with acknowledging their concern is reasonable, and then you provide some new information or testimonials. You can often soften a forceful objection by rephrasing it in a nicer way, or repeating what they said in a curious, questioning tone. Lesson 5 is talk value, not cost. Answer price objections by demonstrating the cost of not buying. So one of the most common objections that salespeople do face is related to the price or cost of your products. People will often say it's too expensive. And what that really means is they don't yet see the value of the product outweighing the money they would need to pay for it. As the salesperson, your whole job is to help them see the value, the benefits, and the features. And here's a quick overview of 3 ideas from Ziglar for countering those price objections. Number 1, explain value versus cost. Usually, if you are selling a higher priced product, then it's a higher quality product, which means it'll be more reliable or longer lasting. And in this case, to make a point about the value for money of the product, Ziglar tells a story of a time that he bought a cheaper bicycle for his kid, which ended up costing more over the next few months because of frequent repairs and it could only be used for a few months, versus buying a more quote-unquote expensive bicycle that can be doesn't break down as often and will last for years. A second tip is to break down the price to daily amounts. If something costs a lot of money but will last for years, then you can minimize the price by showing how much it will cost per year to own it and even per day. I mean, it's a lot easier to justify paying $1 per day for a new car than $20,000. And a third tip is to show the cost of not buying. Can your product or service save people money? Well, then every day they don't have it, they are burning their cash. And when Zig Ziglar was selling some high-quality cookware, he did this very effectively by proving that the cookware would save, you know, 50 cents per meal to make food, and then over a year that would translate to hundreds of dollars and then thousands of dollars over a decade. As the sales expert Brian Tracy wrote in his book, The Psychology of Selling, quote, "People are much more motivated to buy if they feel they are going to lose something by not buying than they are in anticipation of the benefits they will enjoy if they do buy," end quote. Now, another of the most recommended books for salespeople is called Spin Selling by Neil Rackham. And it explains a technique called implication questions, which is about asking the prospect for more details about their problem, the problem that our product solves. And by asking questions about the problem, that increases the size of the problem in their mind. And that means the perceived value of a solution to that problem is also increased in size. And that should be your product or service. It grows in value. For example, a car salesperson could ask questions about how much the prospect's old car is costing them in extra fuel cost, in maintenance, in the extra risk of breakdowns, etc. And by asking those questions that focus on the problems with the old car, that makes them more likely to buy the newer car because they're more aware of all those problems and secondary consequences of the problems with what they have. And that technique is called implication questions from the book Spin Selling, which you can find the summary of on growth.me. But to summarize this lesson, to counter price objections, you can explain how your product will cost less money over time, making it better value for money. You can also break down how much the cost will be per year or per day. And if your product saves them money, then you can show what the cost of not buying will be. Okay, and finally we have lesson 6, serve generously. Top salespeople view each sale as an opportunity to win the next one. Here's the most surprising idea for me from Ziglar's book. Closing the sale is not the end, but only the beginning. The best salespeople put a lot of work into making sure their customers receive great service, because not only is it the right thing to do, but it will provide you with repeat business and referrals, and that is how we build a great sales career. And here are some quick tips for providing that service. Number one, do more than promised. If you do only what the customer expects you to do, then they will be content. They will not complain. But if you go beyond your promises, then they'll be so happy they will tell others. And maybe this explains some of Apple's success, the computer company. Their products aren't always the best on paper, but people love using them because they're well designed to be simple and reliable. The experience is really good. A second tip is to offer complimentary products. One saleswoman, whose story is explained in the book, she called her customers after they bought, offering accessory packages that would complement what they just bought. And Ziglar says if he had known this idea before, in his early career, then his income selling cookware would have been 50% higher. And so it's a very good idea to offer some accessory packages, complimentary products to people who have bought. And a third tip is to keep in constant touch. There was a car salesman named Joe Girard who held all the records for selling cars for a decade. What was his secret? He sent greeting cards to all of his past customers every month. Is that a lot of effort? Yes. But does it work? Well, clearly it worked amazingly well. Now, I have over a decade of experience with online business, and one of the best things that I ever learned was to build a relationship with website visitors. And a relationship can only be built over time, so you need to have some way of following up with people, contacting them again after they run across your business online one time. Today, social media offers one way to keep in touch with an audience online. There could also be push notifications or text messages. But I still believe the best way is to build an email list, because that provides us with a platform to reach our audience directly without any risk of having our account shut down or algorithms changing beneath our feet. Now, if you do have some local type of business, then I think the strategy of sending physical mail could be even more effective today because it's less common. So to summarize this lesson, closing the sale is not the end, but just the beginning. We build a sales career with repeat business and referrals. So, always go beyond your promises, offer more products that complement what you just sold, and keep in touch with your past customers. So let's finish up with three practical action steps for how we could apply this book to our lives. Step number one, make a list of five reasons your customers win. For example, does your product save them money or does it maybe last for years? Remember, the best salespeople have 100% belief in their product or service, which is the source of their enthusiasm and persistence. Action step number two is write down three questions that assume they will buy. For example, you could ask, should we begin the service this week or next week? When you expect success in the sale like that, then it becomes more likely to happen. It becomes a more natural end result. And action step number three, contact three past customers for a testimonial. It doesn't hurt to ask, right? And one of Ziglar's most powerful selling tools was his testimonial reserve, which he carefully organized based on the benefits that were mentioned in the testimonials or based on the objections mentioned. And so if some prospect mentioned an objection, he could pull out the right testimonial that told the story of a customer in the past who had that objection but then bought and was satisfied. Okay, so I hope you found this useful and encouraging, and I'll see you in the next book summary.